Required listening with Amazon Music.
Dad music again?
The greatest guitarist of all time.
Wait, who?
Alexa, add this song to a new playlist.
Sure, what's the new playlist name?
Jack's Intro to Classic Rock.
Adding Stepping Stone by Jimi Hendrix to Jack's Intro to Classic Rock playlist.
Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you and soon he will love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Martin in a minute. Porter Moser in about 10 minutes. But right now, it's Ryan Kelly. Ryan, what do you have for us today?
I want to talk to you guys a little bit about cash-out refinances. It's something we're doing a heck of a lot of. I'll tell you, Frank, I think that purchase pre-approvals and cash-out refinances are keeping us very busy right now. Obviously, going to purchase one, that's a no-brainer. Everybody knows homes are selling fast. There's a lot of people watching those same neighborhoods, those same streets, just waiting for the perfect house to hit the market. And when it does, you better be ready. You better be pre-approved by a strong mortgage lender. If you're considering buying a house, get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. On our pre-approvals, we'll go through your credit with you. We'll talk about your income, your interest rate, your what payment you'll have, and we'll just when we're done with that conversation, you're going to be on good footing and know what to go out and do. And when you find that house, you're ready to buy. But those cash-out refinances are huge. Home values, as we're aware, are just going up. And the interest rates are still very low. So it means you have options. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI. A lot of people calling to get rid of their PMI and quit throwing that money away. Or maybe getting some cash out, $10,000, $20,000. Pay off those credit cards. Stop making those greedy credit card companies rich. You pre-approve for your home purchase or apply for a cash-out refinance today at thehomeloanexpert.com. Thanks, Frank. I'm going to hang up and listen to the show now. Talk to you soon.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate it. Ryan Kelly joining us. Martin Kilcoin back from a captivating evening in Peoria, Illinois.
I know. Frank was rooting for me as a TV rival. There it is, about 5:50. We're live in Peoria, the only local station there to see Alex Reyes pitch. John Mozeliak is there, and Eric Greitens is speaking live. And we have severe weather, and they're in my ear saying, hold on, we got some wet. Okay, you know what? What time are you hitting? Well, Gardner just threw the case out. Oh, Greitens is coming out of the court. Rosenblum's talking. I'm standing on the field in Peoria, and they're like, just stand by. Stand by. And then Greitens says, thank you. And I'm like, don't take questions. Don't take questions. And I'm listening in my ear, and he says, I'm going to be with my family now. You go be with that family, Governor. I'm like, standing by. We're ready. And they're like, Mandy Murphy says, okay, that was Governor. Well, now, okay, the defense lawyer. And I'm about to text Rosenblum and say, wrap it up. Wrap it up. So nothing happened.
Oh, yeah,
at 5:50.
I felt so bad for
yes.
you. Yeah. And then, you know, at 6 o'clock, where there really wasn't anything live because everything had gotten done by 6, I still didn't get on at 6.
Was it weather at that point?
It was weather. Oh, my goodness. Just say there's some storms. Move on. I had a 3-minute sportscast
now,
ready.
Martin, usually when the big star is doing a rehab assignment in AA, they buy like a new TV for the clubhouse for the AA club. Did you do that for the local media in Peoria?
Hey, that's a good point. Excellent.
Did you buy them a nice dinner, upgrade the press
box
a little bit?
The people at WEEK TV, WEEK, some radio station.
They were working so hard. WMBD.
I was rejected by WEEK.
Jim Madsen was my sportscaster. I cannot believe he's still there. That was my sportscaster.
WICS.
That's Springfield, I think.
Oh, but yeah, that's where Nick Charles and Fred Hickman were, yeah.
WMBD, World's Most Beautiful Drive. There's WEEK. Lee Hall was the longtime
Lee
sports
Hall,
guy.
Yeah.
He's the PA announcer for the Peoria Chiefs.
He was great. And there was a guy who I watched as an anchor just retired this past year who was there for like 38 years. So nothing much changes at WEEK.
Hey, explain the food situation, which I thought was kind of fascinating.
Well, and I really wanted to treat the locals, but most of them... shot their footage and left because they had to get back. Jim Madsen was sitting behind home plate shooting the footage, and then they go back to get on the air. And I go up into the press box. They could not have been more accommodating. It's just like covering pro teams.
Yeah,
no.
Sure.
And walk into the press box. Hey, guys, there's some Wi-Fi over there. There's a table over there. You need to set anything up. Here's a couple of vouchers for the concession stand.
How about that?
I'm like, you don't owe us a thing, although we did drive all the way up here, you know. And, they give you $10 vouchers. You go to the concession stands.
So what'd you eat?
I got a cheeseburger.
Very good.
Got a soda. My photographer went and got a Philly cheesesteak. Beautiful ballpark.
Dozier Field is fantastic.
Isn't it?
Used to be O'Brien. When I went there, it used to be a
local car dealer.
Love that place.
Were there
love
any
it.
Fun, like, in-game promotions or anything like that? Minor league game. They try to spice it up a little bit.
Well, and we talked to the manager, whose name is Chris Swagger, before the game. He went through the Cardinals system, never made it past Memphis. But going through the system, he was roommates with Matt Carpenter and Tommy Pham.
Wow.
He said the three of us lived together. And I said, what was that like? He said, very intense. He said, you never quite know how to read Tommy. And I said, thank you. I feel much better. And he said, Matt's one of the most intense guys. He said, I was kind of the joke strikers, and look where it got me.
There. Imagine the not wow, rolling Tommy Pham's toothpaste up.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
I can't picture Tommy Pham and Matt Carpenter living together.
And we'll get Chris on because he was the third party there. But he said the motto here is we try not to let the promotions get into the game. But they would have guys on the field riding like oversized tricycles. And I mean, but people are pretty captivated by the in-between innings. It's a great park. And I'm asking people, how do you pronounce it? And they said, Dozer, as in bulldozer. Get it? Caterpillar? And I'm like, because right across the street is the big Caterpillar building. And they paid for it, I guess, or sponsored. So the Dozer is bulldozer.
Huh.
But it was good. And they have Ivy in center field, which is left over when they were the Cubs affiliate.
All right. How about crowd normally for one of their games as opposed to crowd last night?
Right.
Was
so
the weather okay?
Weather was fine. There was a threat of rain. Mo was walking in wearing sport coat and carrying an umbrella. You never be too ready. He actually sat behind home plate. He was taking pictures with people.
Did he really say you can never be too ready like
I
that?
I believe something along. Then he said,
did he see you eating the cheeseburger?
No, but he did see me in shorts. He said, very unprofessional. I'm like, it's single A.
Oh, he did say
unprofessional. Yes.
Boy, the shots he's taken at you recently.
It's 90 degrees. He parked as we were parking. And I did text him on the way and said, what time will you be there? And he said, 5:30. So we're parking at 4 o'clock, and I see this really nice BMW pull into the player's lot. It was the only BMW in the player's lot. And he gets out. And I said, I thought you were getting here at 5:30. He said, no, that's what time I wanted you to think I was available. He said, I'm getting here now. He said, I have things to do. The shots are continuous, Frank.
And the average attendance for a Chiefs game usually is about a hair over 2,000.
Well, they said a typical Monday night would be around 1,000-ish.
All right.
But they said because of Reyes, they had sold over 2,000.
2,341 to be exact.
Yeah, it
was
didn't
yesterday's.
Feel that crowded. It's possible the threat of rain or storm, some people didn't go that had tickets, but they said they sold over 2,000, and normally it'd be about 1,200. So they sold 800 more tickets because Reyes came back, and they all seemed to know him. When he came off the mound, he got a standing ovation. He had 21 starts there in the summer of 2014. It's amazing the connections. You walk through the hallway, and there's a big picture of Jack Flaherty. It's Paul DeJong bobblehead night in June.
God.
So they really do have a connection to the guys at the big league level. It was a lot of fun.
Well, just imagine what that means revenue-wise. If you have 800 more tickets at $10, well, that's pretty significant.
On a Monday night. So these rehab assignments, when Mozeliak and Gersh decide where to send somebody, if you're the GM in Peoria, whose name, by the way, is Jason Mott, but it's not the same Jason Mott. Can you imagine you're just like, hey, Mo, it's Mott here in Peoria. If you're going to send Reyes out, I mean, it wouldn't, would it kill you to slide him through Peoria for a start? But it was great. Everybody there treated us well. And the access, Frank, they're like, you want to get Reyes as soon as he's done pitching? We're like, absolutely. We don't really want to wait till this game's over.
So you left after the sixth inning?
No, we stayed. We stayed till the bitter. We left at about 10:30 last night.
You did, well, why would you wait if you had
reports.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, we did our reports at 9 to 10. And then Charlie's on 11. I said, you're on your own. We're 10:30.
So much for that show.
It's 10:30. We're out of here. But Reyes, the most important thing is, granted it's A-ball, he looked special. I mean, he's had 25 outs now in two appearances. 18 of the 25 outs have been strikeouts.
Now, did he give any indication, or did Mo give any indication where the next start would be in 6 days?
I think Springfield was the likely. They didn't. Mo didn't disagree with that. They
so
didn't confirm it.
Springfield in 6, Memphis in 12,
roughly. Yeah, 10-ish.
And then here,
and the way it times out, his third start from now would be at the big league level. And Mo basically said, "We're still planning on him as a starter."
Yeah. Oh, they've been adamant about
that. And he said, you know, we try and remain flexible. I'm like, not really. And I did say to Reyes, has it been frustrating for you? He said, yeah. I mean, when they made the decision they made, meeting that 60-day.
Yeah.
He said, there's not a lot I can do, but I respect their decision. I mean, he said all the right things, but clearly he's itching to go. And other than a Reyes return this year, what's your most the Cardinal moment or element that's most exciting to you this year? It might be Tommy Pham's final numbers. Like, can he do it in the year?
Or if Carlos could win a Cy Young, Carlos, or if Michaelis at the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, but the Reyes return is right up there.
Oh, I think it'd be number one, actually.
With things you're excited about.
For like a single game.
Like his return.
Started push.
And just what he can add to the rotation. I mean, if it's even close to what he was doing. And every once in a while, he's wild, like a really crazy off pitch. But I think it helps him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, effectively wild.
Yes, because you don't know for sure what he's going to do. And pace of play, the game was over in 2 hours and 10 minutes. And what's the expression? You can't walk your way to the big leagues. These guys are up there swinging. And especially with Mozeliak there, I have a feeling they were like, tonight's the night to put on a show.
We'll do our five questions in a couple of minutes, but we are delighted to have on the program a guy coming off an absolutely magical basketball season at Loyola Chicago. In fact, as we speak, I'm looking at a picture of Porter Moser addressing the legislature in Springfield, Illinois. Coach, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm great, and I had no business speaking politics. Coach Majerus would probably have been proud of me talking politics, but it was a fun thing to do. Like the state legislator was very, very nice to put a proclamation with our team in, and we went down and met with I spoke to the Senate, the House, and it was a fun day, but it was not in my wheelhouse.
besides that day, Coach, coming off this 32-6 season, and besides the contract extension, what else has just jumped out at you? I mean, how else has your life changed?
You know, I feel just blessed. I mean, like, you will not get me to complain, I promise you, because I've been on the other end of this. And, you know, obviously it's different. Everyone around the city was so excited. And, you know, we went to a Cubs game. I threw out the first pitch and sang the seventh inning stretch for opening day at Wrigley, which is like a sacred opening day, is like sacred there. And it was just a madhouse. I mean, everywhere we went, you walk in the thing and people are trying to take pictures, and it's fun. You know, people ask me, like, some of the people were at with me, like, are you annoyed by this? I'm like, hell no. I go, what would you rather have? People spitting on you, you know, throwing something at you. And, so it's changed. I mean, I'm being pulled in a million directions, speaking and going to clinics and different things. And I'm really trying to stay balanced with my role as a father and my role as a head coach with these guys and spending time with them, and also doing the other things. So my time and my calendar for this summer has just almost already all filled up. But I would rather have it no other way. I'm a high energy guy. I like being on the go, but it's nuts. I mean, I just was at Dick Vitale's gala for pediatric cancer, which is one of the most spectacular events and moving events that I've been at this weekend. What he does for pediatric cancer, and they had the kids up there, and there was like 1,000 people and celebrities were sitting there, and my wife and I were sitting there having breakfast there, and all of a sudden walks up at the table. David Robinson goes, Coach, really enjoyed watching your team. Congratulations. And he turns to my wife and goes, hi, I'm David. And my wife just like started laughing. We know who you are. You're David Robinson. You know, so it was stuff. It's just been everywhere we've gone, people have talked about, they've enjoyed how we did it with our guys and how we played the game. And, you know, it's just a credit to some of the mentors I've had, to the kind of people I had, to the parents of the kids that I had. I mean, I've got unbelievable guys, and it's by design. We set out to recruit that way. But it's been a fun, crazy, crazy mayhem since the Final Four.
All right. And Frank and I sit here and we decide coaches and players' futures for them all the time. And we said, boy, wouldn't it be neat if he could stay? Wouldn't it be neat if he could build that thing up and keep it going at Loyola? And I know you got the contract done long term, able to stay in your hometown there and keep this thing rolling. Was it ever a possibility that you might leave or that it wouldn't work out? Because we see that model a lot. Coaches have a nice tournament run, the offers come in, and they end up going to a different school. How did that play out for you?
Well, it played out. I mean, I just was committed to not interviewing and talking with anybody while we were in this run. I didn't want any distractions. I talked to our guys about enjoying the moment. I think I talked on your show and many other shows about, like, how am I keeping the guys focused? And I'm like, we're enjoying the heck out of it, but we got, like, this laser-like focus when we're film and practice. And I didn't want distractions of, like, how could I really look my guys in the face? We got such a trust with each other and say, I'm interviewing for another job during this run. Because that's what happened. I mean, that's reality. You're in this run, and all the stuff is happening behind the scenes, you know, during the run. And people want to get their stuff done and get their guy hired. And I just would not talk to anybody. And we just kept on playing. Then it went another week. Then it went another week. And we got all the way to the Final Four. And there was a handful of jobs that were filled. And, you know, when the season was, then we got done with the Final Four, you know, I was just so focused on recruiting and just talking to people. And I just, there was just nothing. And I get it. I mean, trust me, you also have a family. The next level to what the Power Five financially are paying is like a huge jump from that. And that's always why the consideration goes. But I think I'm in an opportunity to create something special. And I'm not saying that I'll ever not leave, because you just don't know. But I do feel that we have something special creating. It's the culture we've built, the location. There's just a lot of things. Some of the guys, you know, the guys in the team. And so I hope to build this thing into. But there's some other challenges, guys, that I can just tell you, and we can talk about that we still face. But I do think this could be something special.
So your 2018 commits. I know you got the 6'9" center from Louisiana. You got a shooting guard from Kansas. I'm wondering, because of this run, and not so much for guys in this last recruiting season, but can you get into the homes and can you draw the attention of 4- and 5-star kids? I mean, do you see a noticeable difference at all, or maybe even a slight difference?
Frank, I'm really gonna listen closely what Jay Wright said at the Final Four. He talked about when he went to the Final Four the first time. I don't know how many years ago it was, 10, 12. He goes, he was listening to so many people. It was such about now you can recruit 4-star, 5-star kids. And he goes, I went after those kids and maybe took some kids that didn't fit what we were trying to do at Villanova. And he goes, we lost our way a little bit. And he goes, we've gotten back to, you know, not caring what they're rated, but what fits us. And that resonated with me. And I've been told, and that we've, you know, it resonates with me what we did at St. Louis with Coach Majerus. You know, Kwame Mitchell wasn't on anybody's radar. He was, I don't even know if he was a 2-star guy. And he could be in the Hall of Fame there at St. Louis. Same thing with Dwayne Evans and Jordair Jett and Brian Conklin. You know, those guys, it's about what fits you. And that's what we just went to the Final Four with, I don't know if we had a 4-star guy on our roster. You know, I not only didn't have an NBA player on our team, I couldn't get any of the seniors in Portsmouth, the NBA camp. But I'm not so concerned about, you know, now I got to go after this level guy. I've sat my staff down and just say all the things that that fits us, that we want to do. Character, toughness, winners, the skill. I like our guys that dribble, pass, and shoot, because the way we space and play. I mean, I'm not bending on that. And it just got to recruit to what you want. But I will say this. Some of the biggest challenges I have in the recruiting, it's all kind of ties together. It's still, you know, we've got to get more bids in the Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley is a great league. I mean, 2 years ago for Illinois State not to get into the tournament with 17-1 in the Valley and getting to the championship game, we've got to do it. And the scheduling is such a big part of it. I'm getting killed right now. I can't get people to play. And what bothers me is I sit there and listen during the approach of Selection Sunday and how they tell certain people in the Missouri Valley that, hey, they didn't have this hard of a schedule. I just sat in our Valley coaches meeting in St. Louis last week. All of us are like, we'll play anybody. We'll go play. And people don't, it's got to be an agreement. It's got to be a two-way street. I've had people just laugh at me. Just literally just happened this weekend in Florida at Dick Vitale's deal. Sorry, Porter, we ain't playing. And how we get more bids is we got to build up a more. That's why all the top conferences like the Big Ten are going to 20 games. They played 18. This year they got 20 to have more opportunities to play higher level opponents. And that is something that we've got to continue to move forward, because I'm telling you, Frank, the Missouri Valley is going to be unbelievable next year. Think about this. We finished first, and we've got a handful of guys back. Illinois finished second. They have all five starters back. Southern Illinois finished third, all five starters back. Bradley finished fourth, eight of their top nine back. We've got a heck of a league coming back, so this could be a breakthrough to get more teams in the NCAA tournament. And hopefully our run sparks conversation of that, you know, during the Selection Sunday. Like, if we didn't win the Missouri Valley, this whole run for college basketball might not have happened. That would have been a travesty for our sport, in my opinion. And I'm biased as hell, but who cares? But that's me going on a rant.
Porter Mosier with us, Martin and Frank on 590 The Fan. He's on a first-name basis with David Robinson at this point. The Final Four run, exhilarating. We got our fill of you, Sister Jean. You became household names. When did you sit back, and did you watch back some of the games where your teams just kicked tail and made it to the Final Four? Was there a chance to sit back and actually watch the games?
You know, that's a good question. I've been asked that a bunch. After the Miami game, I watched the non-TV versions, like right afterwards, looking what we could have done better, what things that I could have done better as we prepared for Tennessee. And then preparing for Nevada, I watched the Tennessee non-TV copy, you know, just to get better and see what we did. I have not watched the Michigan game, and it's going to take me some time. You know, our guys were, you know, we were devastated. We really believed we were going to be playing on Monday for the national championship. And we had a 10-point lead, and we had a horrible five-minute stretch. We had two bad shots, and any coach will tell you, Coach Majerus will tell you, bad shots lead to layups, and that's what happened. And then Mo Wagner dribbled out of a double team. I can play the whole game in my mind. ask my therapist. So I'm driving to the Mo Wagner dribbles out of a trap, hits a three in the corner. A kid that hit one three all year hits another three, and we had four straight turnovers. And I haven't watched the game, but I can just tell you that's the sequence. And you know, so I haven't watched that game. What I have seen is we had the most spectacular highlight film put together by our videographer for our senior banquet. It's chilling. And some of the coolest moments I've seen is, like, as a coach coaching for 28 years, I've watched the Elite Eight games and watched the team and the coach stand on a stage and confetti coming down and them handing that regional trophy as they know they're going to the Final Four. And I get chills even just saying it. And to be in that situation where we got the regional trophy, confetti coming down, and they showed me go right to the stands and hug my wife and my four kids, that is about as meaningful a coaching moment I've ever had, because I didn't see all the TV clips of my kids and my wife as everybody else told me that how many times they panned it to them, because I hadn't watched the TV copies. And then in the highlight film, to see the pure joy on my kid's face and my wife's face for all that they sacrificed for what I do, it was just pure joy, and it was probably the coolest moment that I've seen. This highlight film was just phenomenal.
Do you think, in a way, what you've done and then what Villanova has done, that more coaches would much rather have that situation, that give me a like six or seven third-year, fourth-year, fifth-year guys together as opposed to the one-and-dones?
You know, that's a great question, Frank. And I spoke to a high, high-level coach, and I'm not going to say his name, that came from a cultured program, and he talked about some fan bases are so obsessed with signing four- and five-star recruits that – coaches will take that to get the pressure of the fan bases off, even though the kid doesn't fit what they're trying to do. And that's why, you know, I'm blessed. The people here, I don't get that. I have enough leverage where I just tell them, hey, that's not what I'm looking for. It fits here. And they're like, okay. But like Jay Wright, he's a guy that is comfortable with his voice, that tells his, you know, his fan base you know, hey, it's about getting a Villanova guy. We have felt that way on a smaller scale. You know, as we've tried to do this, this is what we want to do at Loyola. And I think it starts with some fan bases that are just obsessed with the four and five star guy. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes, if you saw some of the people rating these guys, that's what, like, we had a guy on some obscure rating report rated a kid a certain high rating. And that guy that rated him might never have played the game before. I know exactly who it is. And people, I had a booster tell me, yeah, I saw he got rated this. Why are you going after him? Why aren't we getting this kid? And you just shake your head going, we've watched this kid, you know, and that you just got to recruit to what you want. And I just hope fan bases on some of these programs, they just get so obsessed with it. And it's just, there's hopefully, you know, I'm blessed. Then I want to be in that situation where I want to recruit guys that I want to coach that fit what we're trying to do.
What's the biggest change for you at Loyola? So you got a little more juice now, certainly the contract, but did you get a better parking spot? You got a new chair, a new desk, any new perk for Porter Moser?
Man, great question about the parking spot. I mean, I'm still debating that. I'm trying to fight that. We have a parking, you know, parking in Chicago is a mess. And so, I mean, I'm still at the top of the parking deck. It's everything. I'm excited for things that help Loyola basketball and Loyola University. And I mean this sincerely, because it's all about the process. I'm focused more on that than I am what's best for Porter Moser, because here's the thing that breaks ground today, our new practice facility. We've been operating at Loyola without a practice facility. And Frank, you know this from when your son played golf here, that like they tore down alumni gym. We have four sports in it. We have two volleyballs. We have men's volleyball. Not a lot of people have men's volleyball. They're breaking ground on a new practice facility connected to our arena that's going to be spectacular. That excites me to no end. So to have this facility coming up, that's going to help Loyola basketball, Loyola University, and the student athletes experience. So that's changed. I'm sitting right here. I'm going to sit down right in it right now in my office. They send you. The NCAA sent me a chair from the bench in San Antonio. It has the Final Four logo on the back. It says Final Four 28. It's the coolest chair, man. I'm telling you, I love this thing.
Wow. That's a little better than those half eaten sandwiches Majerus would give Frank on any given day.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Majerus is the best. I remember doing a radio show with Bob. It was either Bob Ramsey. We were in the Chaffetz Arena, and he's live on the radio, and they brought in some fresh ribs behind, and they had all this pulled pork and other thing, but they only had like two racks of ribs, and Coach knew that, and Matt Gordon, who's my assistant, was with us. He's walking behind, and he starts unwrapping the ribs, and it was completely behind Coach Majerus. It was like he had eyes in the back, and in the middle of the interview, he said, "Hey, Matt, can you save one of those rack of ribs for me, buddy?"
Coach, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We were big Loyola fans throughout the run. We hope it continues.
All the best, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All righty. The great Porter Moser joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
How good was that? Can you tell that he's just excited about life, about his program, fired up? And he gave me a good question. But then he qualified and said, a lot of people have asked that. So the Plowhawk waved it off.
Yeah,
not
he said
a good
no.
question. Was it because other people had asked it?
That was it. And I think you kind of felt it when he kind of just gave you one of those almost pity ones.
Yeah,
so
like,
you,
oh, that's a good question. I've heard that from a lot of people. Oh. And then Frank gets a good question.
A great question, he said. Emphatic
okay.
on the one and dones and stuff.
And then I got a great question. So we're really tied, but I think the asterisk would be I had a great and a good. Frank just had a great because we're all children here.
I would recommend to our listeners when there is an interview on to stream it on the 590 The Fan Facebook page because you can see the reaction of Martin and Frank and
acting
all of
like
us
children
in here when there is a great question or good question dropped.
Let's our go arms five, are in the air like we just won the Masters.
Yes. It's the little things, okay? We're never going to win the Masters. We're never going to coach a team to the Final Four. This is all we have. Let us have this. I was live in Arnold, live in Peoria. This is my moment, okay? This is big for me.
You may be the only sportscaster in history to be live in Arnold and live in Peoria the same day.
I was
day.
Thinking about my day began. We were in Peoria, or we were at Arnold. We were at the Zingers, and at the end of the night, I was live in Peoria. In fact, I said that at 10 o'clock. Coming to you live from Peoria, and I don't believe I've ever said that before. I'd been to Peoria. Love Peoria. Love the Riverwalk.
It's a really boring drive, though, if you really look at the landscape of what you're driving through to get to Peoria. Not a lot
to
look at.
Wow,
Plowsy's
just hitting on middle of Illinois.
Oh, it's just, it is the middle of Illinois. A lot of, you know, cornfields and things like that.
But the town's got a couple, I won't say skyscrapers, but you get some decent-sized buildings
there. Peoria's, I mean, it was huge when I was a kid.
Were there cranes up in the
city? I didn't see any cranes. Okay. But, I mean, there's probably three buildings that are at least 18 to 20 stories high?
Yeah, they got a good skyline, I guess,
yeah,
a little bit.
So the day started with you at Zinger's eating a cinnamon roll, and it ended in Peoria with you eating a cheeseburger.
That is correct.
Okay. That was comp. Oh.
Although,
both comp.
You're talking about a brutal day of food. I was feeling guilty about my lasagna.
In between, you're sitting in a car.
Well, no, then at about 12:30, we stop. Maybe it's midnight. We're in Springfield, one of those exits, the Sagamon Street or one of these streets. And so photographer Adam and I, we're getting some gas. He runs into the bathroom. I'm staring at the nut section trying to make a good decision in honor of Dr. Rick. And I'm looking at all the section, the back, you know, ooh, that's a lot of sodium. And I think there's about two people in there, but I didn't really look. And all of a sudden I hear the cashier say, "Whoa, where are you going with it? Hey!" And he runs out and chases somebody out. A guy walked in, grabbed a couple bottles of liquor, and just ran out. And so now the guy working there chases him out, and so does the other customer. Well, now this is our chance, Frank, to grab some liquor because the store's unattended. No, but the guy walks in. I said, "What happened?" He said he just turned and grabbed a couple of these bottles of vodka and took off into the woods. And there's this big guy standing there who bought some beer. He said, "I'll help you get them." And I thought, oh God. We got like vigilante justice. Eventually, a cop shows up. And now the citizen's arrest guy, real big guy, is like, "I'll find him in the woods." The cop, I can just see pointing. I'm like, "Go home. Go. I got this. We don't need this." But it was bizarre. Wow. The poor guy at the counter calls his boss. This all took a little while. I don't know what my photographer was doing in the bathroom.
Just wanting to check out and leave.
I just want to get home. And he calls his boss and says, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I was at the counter. This guy came in. All of a sudden, he grabbed a couple bottles of Amsterdam vodka and took off." And I think it's probably $20. Each bottle was like $10. It's not worth getting shot or chasing them into the woods at that point.
Yeah, if this was, you know, your top shelf liquor, maybe you feel bad. But Amsterdam, take that.
But I was wondering, is this going to elevate? Let's get out of here. We might have breaking news.
He needed that Dr. D, David Schultz, the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I'm telling you, this guy who was ready to make, he had like a case of like Bud in one hand. He was about 6'4". Maybe 300. He kept saying, "I'll help. I'll go find him in the woods." I'm like, "All right, this is not going to end well." So we did what a good journalist would do. We packed up and we left.
He went home.
And ate some. Sun chips are good for you, right?
We can ask Dr. Rick.
The cheddar version of sun chips at about.
Not a whole bag, but. You
that
know.
Was a medium size.
Okay,
bag.
The smaller ones.
Yeah, a couple of quick texts here. That was incredible, guys. Interview of the year. And then Catfish sarcastically texts, "Now interview Odom." Oh, that's mean. All right.
I think, not to tell Hoff or Hewer how to do their job, but that was a walking promo. Almost everything Porter Moser said could be a promo.
But somehow I don't think that'll be.
I could send that out to Jim.
Well, if you're handling the promos, it'll be good, I'm sure. All right.
Frank's afraid he'll tune him like, "Tune into the president." It's Frank saying, "All right, he's hitting 422 this way, reading some numbers." Yeah. Like, no.
Let me tell you. Hollywood Casino Press Box with Frank Cusimano. Okay, reasons I'm going to hell.
Let me tell you about the third wife.
Before we go to break, a quick word about the First Tee. They're an international youth development organization introduced to the game of golf and its inherent values to young people. Through after-school and in-school programs, we help shape the lives of young people from all walks of life by reinforcing values like integrity and respect. And we are thrilled because June 11th, I believe, we're going to be at Norwood Hills Country Club. Orlando Pace is going to be a part of it. If you have some used clubs in the garage, they need golf clubs because every Saturday they're at Forest Park helping out the youth of St. Louis. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.